Hi, can you speak to Gemma Hosack, please?
Yeah, it's Gemma speaking.
Hi, Gemma. It's my name's Michael. I'm calling from MMA Legal with a law firm helping you with your Scottish redress case.
All right, okay, yeah.
How are you, Gemma?
I'm fine, thank you.
Fantastic. Do you have 10 minutes, Gemma, to have a chat with me about your case?
Yeah, no problem at all.
Okay, perfect. Just to let you know, Gemma, all of our calls are recorded for training and monitoring purposes. It's my role, Gemma, as part of the investigation team. I'll just let you know there's a password called Monero. It's my role, Gemma, as part of the investigation team to go out, gather the evidence on your behalf. Whether that be, you know, social services, educational authorities. But not only that, Gemma, it's to get to know you a bit better and trying to understand you. And also the trauma you faced as a child, how that has had an effect on you into your adult life, with stuff, you know, with things that I can evidence, like diagnosed with depression or anxiety, I can write to your GP. Issues with alcohol or substances, I can write to, again, your GP or, you know, some form of rehabilitation centre or alcohol or
I'm luckily, I've never had problems with alcohol or substances.
Oh, nice. That's cool. All I'm trying to do, Gemma, is build a picture so I can present the Scottish Redress as, you know, not only Gemma in care, but Gemma because of care. And they have to take that into consideration when deliberating on your case. So it's just trying to give you the best chance, really, of getting those out of this process. So I'm going to ask you some tough questions, Gemma, and I do apologise in advance. So have you ever been diagnosed with any sort of anxiety or depression?
Yes.
Okay. Is that both, is it, or just one?
Both.
Okay. And do you take medication from your GP?
Yes. I'm currently coming off it though because I'm pregnant again. So I've stopped my medication because I'm... Yeah, thank you. Because I'm pregnant again, I have to stop my medication, but I'll go straight back on it as soon as I've got an appointment on Tuesday to discuss it.
Oh, nice. How far along are you?
I'm just about 12 weeks, so I'm not that far.
No. This is pregnant.
But this is my fourth. This will be my fourth child.
Oh, wow. Yeah, you've got one more to go before you beat me.
I'm having no more, that's it.
We're permanently skint.
I know, I feel it.
Yeah, I know. So you haven't had any issues with alcohol or any substances, have you?
No, I'm not good. My parents were alcoholics, so that kind of put me off alcohol.
Yeah.
Like, I enjoy it, right? Like, I don't drink now, but, like, I would go for, like, the old night out or, you know, things like that, but not, like, I wouldn't drink it. Like, I don't drink at home or anything like that.
Yeah, that's cool. Alcoholics. Okay. I've got a real tough one for you, Gemma. It's one I absolutely dread having to ask, but I will. I do have to ask you, so I do again. I'm so sorry. Have you ever tried to take your own life, Gemma?
Yes.
I'm so sorry you thought that was your option. Did that end up in hospitalisation?
Yes. Just like I wasn't in for long. I've done it a couple of times, but only a couple, like not all the time I've been taken to hospital, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, no problem. Just for context, the reason why I asked that obviously is because I'll write to the hospital and I'll gather that evidence for you. We can tie that back to past trauma.
Yeah.
You know, any sort of mental health problems that we can tie it back to what happened to you as a child. Okay, so are you okay to continue the call?
Yeah, of course, yeah.
All right, perfect. Thank you for that. Thank you for being so brave.
Yeah.
Can I take your GP's details, please, Gemma, and I'll write to your GP about...
It's Dr. Brooks.
Dr. Brooke.
Yeah, B-R-O-O-K-S.
Yeah.
And it's Princess Street Surgery.
Princess Street.
Mm-hmm.
Street. surgery.
And that's Princess Street, Burzell, but I don't know the postcode.
It's okay. It's in Princess Street. Burzell. Right, you're right up the top, aren't you?
Yeah, right at the top. Okay, thank
you. Jeez. That's an 8-hour drive from here, Burzell.
Yeah, probably. My sister lives in Livingston, so
yeah.
Quite a good trip to go down and see her.
Yeah. We used to have a business where we'd have to send drivers up there. It was mainly my dad. We actually were together, and he used to have to do there, so and it was an 8.5-hour drive.
Yeah, it's mad, isn't it?
Yeah, it's crazy drive. It's a crazy drive. Can I take the hospital that you were hospitalised in, please?
It would have been Caithness General Hospital in Wick.
Yeah, you may have to give me that one again, please.
Caithness General Hospital.
Can you spell it for me?
CAthNESS.
Caithness? Okay.
And that's Wick, WICK.
Hospital. In Wick, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, perfect. Okay, just a question about your time and care.
Mm-hmm.
You're in foster care in Thurso?
Yeah.
So I can write to, obviously, the Thurso social services and the education.
Yeah, it'll be Wick Social Services.
Okay, give me 2 seconds.
And they're in Caithness House in Wick.
Okay, give me 2 seconds.
And then give you postcode because I work, well, I don't work in social services, but like I work in housing and it's all part of the same local government. So postcode there.
So it's Wick.
Social services, yeah. That's in Caithness House, like Caithness is in like the same hospital.
Yeah, so that was CATH.
NESS.
Caithness House, yeah.
Yeah, and that's Wick, WICK.
Yeah.
And the postcode there is Kilo Whiskey 1.
1, yeah.
4 Alpha Bravo.
4 Alpha Bravo. We need 2 6. Okay, perfect. Excellent. And your name when you were in care, Gemma?
Just the same name.
Okay. So when I get your information back from the social services, Gemma, do you want me to share all the information I get with you?
Yeah, that would be great, yeah, because I've never seen my social work folder.
Yeah. Me. Okay, so when I get that back, Gemma, what I'll do is I'll send you copies of everything I get, and then we'll run through that together. It's probably going to be anywhere between 6 and 10 months' time.
Yeah.
We'll run through it together, make sure that you're happy with all the evidence that we've collected.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure you're happy with all of your statements. Obviously, this may kick up some memories for you, so it's probably not going to be an easy call. So we'll do that in 1, 10, 50 calls, however many it needs to. But we'll go through it together.
Okay.
And then we'll add your medical records from the GP and the hospital to your case and before we do what's called our final submission, Gemma.
Yeah.
Just to let you know what was... Oh, go on.
I tried to commit suicide before I went into care. And that's kind of one of the reasons, like...
Why?
That I refused to go to school. And I think... I probably had depression and anxiety. Well, I definitely did have depression and anxiety, but because of that time, it wasn't really a thing in children.
No, of course.
I was just classed as a problem child.
Yeah, definitely. Don't know,
my foster care time was just awful. Like, it was really, really awful. Like, when I went into residential, it was fine. It was just, like, a foster care, and then, like, I had my panel, and it was just, like, I got put home. I had no support after I got put home. I just got completely failed by the system, and I've worked with people like that have come out of care now, and the support that they get is like.
Is it? Because that's one of the concerns, obviously, for us and the majority of my clients is that, you know, kids are still getting badly and mistreated now.
Mm-hmm.
But are you saying that when they come out, well, the ones that you've witnessed, they've come out and been supported? Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah, I've worked in supported accommodation for kids that have come out of care. They have staff on and we have to stay in their house with them. Two of them actually died due to substance misuse, but that was like after they were with us. But it was it was hard, like, because you know you're working with kids that come out of care, and one of the lasses, she's like, "You don't know what it's like being in care," and I was like, "Yeah, I do, because I've been in care." And then like our relationship, like your dynamic of our relationship, completely changed then, because she knew I understood.
You're absolutely the perfect person.
But like my experience of coming out of care was just awful, and I don't think it's brilliant for everyone, because that service that we offer, that supported accommodation up here, doesn't exist anymore because there's no funding for it. Everything's down to money. But I mean, yeah, it's
No, what I don't get, Emma, is that they stop these type of projects due to money. A lot of these kids will end up in jail, costing more money anyway. A massive strain on the NHS due to, you know, drug and alcohol problems. You know, it's very short-sighted, isn't it?
Yeah. And then you get a lot of kids as well that don't want it.
Yeah.
You know, they just don't want to be in supported accommodation. You know, you have ones like that, you know, that just don't want it. They just don't.
Yeah.
And then they do go out on their own and it's a disaster. They end up in jail or drugs or alcohol. You know, and then in hindsight now, I think a lot of them look at it and think, well, maybe we should have.
Took that little bit of time to readjust and just back into society, kind of.
Yeah, like my partner, he was in care and he had it a lot worse than me, but he's too young for the readdress. He's slightly younger than me. And his time in care, like he's had problems with alcohol substances, not now. He was in jail. Drugs and everything, and just, you know, his time in care was awful. Like, in comparison to mine, his was a lot worse and a lot more traumatic than mine. Mm-hmm. But,
did he ever talk about going civil, like through a civil route?
He spoke to a lady that was dealing with it first.
Really?
Yeah, and she told him to get in contact with Thompson Legal.
Yeah.
Because he was out of care, because I came out of care in 2003.
Yeah.
But obviously he didn't go into care. Well, I don't know. Peter, what year did you go into care? He was 13 when he went into care.
How old is he?
He is 30. He's 33 this year.
Okay. He's 5 years younger than you?
Yeah, he's fine now. Like, he's been through, like, he was addicted to Xanax. He was in a prison. He's now, like, he's obviously father of my children.
Yeah.
He was a stepdad. Yeah. Good stepdad. Doesn't touch substances, doesn't touch alcohol, passed his driving test.
Nice.
Like, done so much for himself. Like, and he came out of jail in 2017, he got out of jail, and he's not been back in since. He's worked really hard to get to where he is. Obviously, it's fine because we can support each other with trauma and stuff, but it's like, I feel so guilty because mine is like not as bad as his, but my experience of it wasn't as bad as his. My experience of foster care was awful, like absolutely awful.
Of course.
But then my experience in residential was really good, whereas his was negative.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's funny how.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, of course. Well, look, I mean, you can say my experiences wasn't as bad as his, but your experience compared to a normal, you know, person's upbringing is night and day, isn't it? It's horrendous.
It is.
So, you know, you've been massively looked down as a child.
Yeah, like, and then, and after as well, like, literally, it was just a panel, and that was it, no support, no help, no support after coming out of here.
No.
I stayed in my mum, like, my mum and dad were alcoholics, and, like, I spent a lot of time with my granny. Like, I didn't really go out or socialise with friends or nothing. I only really sort of got back on my feet properly after it all in 2010.
Yeah.
Like, that's when I really got back.
How are you today?
I'm 38 and it's been, yeah, so. But I've got, you know, I've got a really good job. I've worked hard to get to where I am now.
Yeah, that's cool.
And I've got my kids and stuff, so yeah, it's, I just feel massively like doing my system, and I think it's unfair on other kids that, you know, there is kids that are still going through stuff like that, so it's all to do with funding, it's all money.
Yeah, well, I've seen a lot of my clients, this is, you know, the money that we get for you isn't going to fix what's happened to you. The hope is that the Scottish Government, mm-hmm. you know, keep getting a whack in the pocket.
Mm-hmm.
So they pick up, you know, they take notice and go, well, how do we stop this from happening in the future? Well, take care of the kids.
That's what they need to do. I mean, I just think the whole system is wrong now.
Yeah. Set up to fail, isn't it?
Yeah.
So we set up to fail. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I think it's worse than cities, I think, obviously. As I suppose up here, I mean, I can't even mind how many social workers there is. There's only about 3 social workers, and their caseloads are huge.
Are they, yeah, right up that far?
Mm-hmm. You struggle to get social work.
Is there so big? I've never been. Is that a big...
No, there's about 20,000 people, maybe.
Okay. So it's not...
It's quite big. Like, it's a town, and then Wick's a town as well, and then there's also like little villages as well. But people move off. We did have we still do. We have Dunray, like the nuclear plant thing.
Okay.
That's in decommission, and it has been for years. So like, people struggle to get jobs up here. Like, really struggle to get work up here.
Yeah,
and a lot of work up here now is about who you know.
Yeah.
You know, like, if you know someone, say, you know, you're more likely. And if you're in a job, you're more likely to get a job if you're in a job already.
Hmm. Yeah. No, I can imagine how tough it is up there, to be honest. It's right up the very top, isn't it? So we'll go through the information together when I get back to Emma. We'll do what's called our final submission to Scottish Redress. What we've done so far, Gemma, is we've gave them notice of we are going to claim, but we've told them we're providing support and evidence, which is obviously your social service record and your medical records. So they're waiting on that. We then get what's called a panel date. It's not like panels, obviously, you've been to in the past. It's all done behind closed doors, so there's no need for us to attend. And then from there, hopefully we'll get you the recognition that you deserve and an offer of financial compensation.
Well, thank you very much. It's not even a bit of money. It's about, like, letting people know that it's being recognised that you've been working by system.
Yeah,
because no one's apologised or, you know, anything for what's happened. It's just...
You know. Look, as I said to you before, the money's good. It's not going to fix anything, but... Hopefully, you know, I'll go a little way to trying to fix things in the future.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully they'll try and stop this coming down the line anymore.
Okay, thank you so much.
That's no problem. Do you have any questions for me, Gemma?
No, just keep in touch or just pop an email every now and again or whatever.
So I'll be in touch with you every 3 to 4 weeks by email or a call. I just need to go back one step with you, Gemma, obviously due to the sensitive nature of these cases.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously I'm about to embark on probably 8 to 10 months worth of work on your behalf. I just need to make sure that you're fully aware and fully understand our fees and what other options are out there for you.
Mm-hmm.
I need to do it on this recorded call, Gemma, just for our compliance as well. So you've probably heard this before, but this will be the last time you do. So just to let you know, Gemma, you don't need a law firm to apply to the Scottish Redress. There is a process you can undertake yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And that would entail, obviously, if you wish to, is gathering your own evidence, creating and submitting your own case. But that is an option. Option 2 is there are other law firms out there, Gemma, who will help you apply for the Scottish Redress and won't charge you any fees.
Mm-hmm.
The reason they don't charge fees is that they get paid directly from the Scottish Government. as part of the government legal fee scheme, where they get paid £2,000 per client, whether that client wins, loses, or draws that case. Now, as a fellow law firm, I am unable to advise you on those law firms' practices and what they would do for you, but more importantly, Gemma, what they wouldn't or don't do for you. All I can tell you is that we, as a law firm, we don't participate in the government legal fee scheme. We don't accept the handouts from the Scottish Government, and we definitely don't want to be owing anything to the Scottish Government. What we do, Gemma, is we enter into a private fee agreement with yourself under a no-win, no-fee contract, and where if you win, you lose, we lose together. And it's on me and us as a business is to go out and gather the evidence to give you the best possible chance of getting the most out of this process.
Yeah.
Our fees are capped at 16% plus VAT. Gemma, which works out around about 19.2%. But just for ease of conversation, the ease of maths, we tell our clients you'll never pay us more than 20% fees are capped. So no matter how much time and effort and work goes into your case, Gemma, you'll never pay us more than 19.2%.
Okay.
On the flip side, just for your peace of mind, the no fee side of the no win, no fee. Because you've been through such emotional turmoil throughout your life because of your time and care, we will never put you under any sort of financial pressure if we are unsuccessful with your case. So if we don't get you compensation, Gemma, we won't come knocking or looking for any sort of fees from yourself.
Okay.
Is that okay?
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, perfect.
Do you understand those three options, Gemma?
Yeah, of course, yeah. Go ahead.
Excellent. Thank you very much. Just to let you know, Gemma, you signed a fee agreement with us on the 17th of March. You have what's called a 14-day cooling-off period from that date. What that means is if you change your mind, anything up to day 14, you can rip up any agreement you have with us and walk away. Or alternatively, if you're happy with us as a law firm, happy with your fees, you can rip up or waive the 14-day cooling-off period and we can get started on your case, but that's entirely up to you.
No, just get started. That'll be fine. Thank you.
Okay, perfect. What I'll do, Gemma, is I'll write to you within the next 2 weeks with all my contact details. You have my direct line now. My name's Michael. I'm going to be your caseworker till the end of this process. If you need me for anything, if you have any questions or, I just remembered this, just give me a call. If I can answer, obviously I will. If not, leave me a message and I'll get straight back to you.
Okay, no problem at all. Thank you.
Perfect. Well, thank you very much for speaking to me today. Do you have any questions for me?
No, that's everything. Thank you.
Sounds like my house, Gemma. I'm off.
Thank you. Bye.